Hello, my name is Chris Verlicke. I'm a past master of Waukesha Lodge and district deputy for District 11. And the first presentation I'm doing here is presented by myself, but written by Barry Axelrod. And we're going to be talking about going to lodge. Of course, for most of us, this is a pretty easy thing. We're used to going in and meeting with the brethren, but what I want to do is talk to the new brothers out there or to the old brothers and give you an idea of some of the experiences that you might have if you were a new brother coming in. So you have gone through the initiations and are now a member of the fraternity. This was quite an experience. I apologize, technical difficulties. This was quite an experience, but you were blindfolded for most of it. Now that you remember, what is expected of you when you show up and go to your lodge meeting? First, the lodge meeting is called a stated communication. It sounds very impressive, but it is not like ritual or initiation. Instead, it is basically a business meeting. So let's look at that code of conduct and what you might expect when you walk in through those doors. Before you go, you should ask someone about the dress code. Every lodge has different ideas of what is appropriate and respectful within the lodge. And this will be different from lodge to lodge. Some believe that proper respect means that you should wear a tuxedo or a black suit. Others, coat and tie. Others are more concerned with you being there rather than how you're dressed. Please check the dress code to ensure that you don't run into any embarrassment or other situations. But at the end of the day, being there is almost always more important than the dress code. The first thing that I recommend is that you show up to the meeting early. One of the most important activities that you will partake in is getting to know your lodge brothers. You are a member of a fraternity, a member of a family, and you want to get to know those people who are in this new world of the lodge, which you join. You also have the opportunity to go and visit other lodges, a point that I will get to shortly. Nevertheless, your home lodge is your family. These are your closest brothers, the people who, for many of us, we can share all parts of our lives with. Well, most parts. Take the time to get to know these brothers. When you go through the door of the building, you will probably be greeted by some of the officers of the lodge. If some of the brothers do not greet you, go and introduce yourself. Some of the brothers might be rather shy, so it's important that you overcome any shyness you may have, reach out your hand and say, "Hi, I'm Frank McKenna and new to the lodge." At this time, you will form friendships and establish connections. This is how you get to know the brothers of the lodge. And it's equally important for the brothers of the lodge to reach out and talk to these new brothers. Bring them in. Offer to sit next to them at dinner. Let them know that they are members of the fraternity. Now, when you get closer to the stated meeting, you will probably go upstairs and go closer to the lodge room, where you will find, near the outer door, a register book. This is a Masonic tradition where we sign in and let people know in future generations that we were there for the important business of the lodge. Now, typically you would sign this yourself outside the outer door of the lodge, but during the pandemic, the register is kept by the secretary. They will be signing it for you, signing you in, so they will be taking a roll call. Now, to take part in a lodge meeting, you need to be properly clothed. And while that usually includes pants, it also includes aprons. And when we talk about properly clothed, it's not just wearing an apron, but wearing it properly. Now, you did receive an apron when you became a Master Mason, if you've made it to that point. If not, aprons will be provided at lodge. And even if you're a Master Mason, most Masons will actually pick up the aprons that are there available outside the outer door. You will be asked to wear your apron in the appropriate manner. For an entered apprentice, for example, that is with the top turned up for reasons that were then explained. If you run into any problems with this, or maybe you've forgotten, it's been a while since you've been at the lodge, walk up to a brother, ask them, say, "Hey, I'm a fellow crab. How do I wear my apron?" Like your initiation, the state of communication has a set of ritual openings and closings. Now we'll talk about the closing later. The officers perform the opening of the lodge, and it is a solemn ritual. The entire point of the opening is to bring us into the appropriate mindset to shed our daily problems, calm our minds, and refocus us to participate in the meeting. This is incredibly helpful because, of course, you don't want to bring the troubles of the outside world into the sacred realm, which is the lodge. One of the first questions that you will wonder when you walk into the lodge is, of course, going to be where to sit. And the answer is not in any of the big chairs. You don't want to take on a part of ritual that you don't actually know. So sit on the sidelines. You will always find the sidelines on either side of the lodge, and preferably sit near someone who can help you and answer any questions you may have. Of course, you would want to whisper to them. You don't want to stand up and directly address the lodge if you're wondering what the gavel wraps mean. Which brings up some of the other issues. There is a point in the opening when the worshipful master will call on the brethren to give the signs. Be sure to practice with someone during the meet and greet period so that you remember what those signs are. And of course, I can't show them here. You'll also hear gavel raps. In fact, the gavel is very important. It controls the lodge. It's a way for the master to tell the lodge exactly what's going on. So let's go through the gavel. When the worshipful master wants to address a specific person, he will rap once. So he would rap and say, "Brother Junior Warden," and the Junior Warden would stand up. The person then would arise. If the Bible is open and tapers are burning, the person will address the worshipful master by giving the due guard, saying, "Worshipful Master," and then giving the sign. When the worshipful master wants to have all of the officers stand, for example, during opening and closing, he will rap twice. When the worshipful master addresses the lodge and wishes everyone to stand up for prayers or for opening and closing, he will rap three times. When the worshipful master wants everyone to sit, he will again rap once, and that will seat the lodge. If he raps four times, it means for panic, because none of us actually know what that means. So what do you do if you arrive late? Well, you're open to join the meeting even when you're running late. These things happen. We're Masons. We get involved in other things. When you arrive, the tiler will stop you at the outer door. You can't just enter into the lodge. And the tiler will alert the lodge that a brother, properly vouched for, seeks admission. The worshipful master then will allow you to enter via the tiler if properly clothed, meaning that you're wearing your apron in the proper form. You will walk in and you will approach the altar. When you're standing at the altar, you will wait for the master to arise, and then you will give the due guard and sign of the degree that the lodge is open in. Currently, that would be the entered apprentice degree. Both you and the master will salute in unison, and then you will be free to sit on the sidelines. Now, let's talk about the business of the lodge and how you participate. You are a member, and as such, everyone wants you to participate. Your questions, your concerns, your ideas are important. You draw in new concepts and new ideas that we may not have otherwise had. So how do you speak? You should stand and wait to be recognized by the worshipful master. One does not simply speak in lodge without standing and awaiting to be addressed. When the master calls on you, you should address the worshipful master as before by giving the due guard, by saying "Worshipful Master," and then the sign. If you will be addressing someone other than the worshipful master, you will ask the worshipful master if you can address your question to another brother. Now, most things in the lodge are accomplished by consent. which is a fancy way of saying voting. And ultimately, there are three forms of voting within the lodge: the show of hands, paper ballot, and the use of the ballot box. So let's run through these really briefly. So for something like a show of hands, this is going to be a straightforward vote. Voting on a motion, voting on whether you should pay the bills or whether your lodge should give a scholarship. The worshipful master simply calls for a show of hands and then determines what that vote outcome is. Now, when you're voting on something which is a sensitive issue, you would use a secret ballot. What sort of sensitive issue? Well, at the end of the day, this could be something such as voting on the principal officers or other very important matters of the lodge. In these cases, the worshipful master will have the deacons distribute paper and pens. The secretary will ultimately count the votes and let the worshipful master know how it came out. Now, for petitions, we use the secret ballot, or the most secret ballot, and this is the ballot box. So the senior deacon will travel around the lodge carrying a ballot box like you see before you. When he stops in front of you, you should pick up either a white ball or a black cube and put your vote into, usually there's a hole or a slot that you drop that piece into. The term black ball actually derives from this practice back in the time when we used black balls instead of black cubes. We, of course, have changed to give a more tactile sense and avoid error with the ballot box. So you'll also come across times where the lodge goes informal. These are our favorite times. We get to stand up and move around. The worshipful master may do this if the lodge is being set up for a presentation, or maybe the senior deacon is being sent out on urgent business outside the lodge room. You will then gavel the lodge informal. This means that you can get up and move around, with an exception. Do not break the light. You will hear this term in masonry quite a bit. Do not break the light. Do not walk between the worshipful master and the altar. So you need to be aware of that. The worshipful master will then give warning and wrap the lodge formal when the meeting will continue and proceed in proper protocol. So let's turn quickly to the closing of the lodge. What are the differences between opening and closing? Well, they're almost identical. But towards the end, the worshipful master will ask the wardens, how shall masons meet, act, and part? So let's go through what that is, because it is actually rather important. How shall masons meet? You will hear the words on the level from the senior warden. How act? By the plumb. This is from the junior warden. And then the master will say, and meet upon the square. May we ever meet, act, and part, my brothers. And that is squaring the lodge. This is a representation of the equality that we have within the lodge. The officers take positions towards the corners and everyone else fills in between. Everyone comes into that same square. If you want to move to the other side of the lodge to balance off the square, that's fine, but again, do not break the light when you do so. And then at the end, wait. The tiler will be invited in. There will probably be applause, but wait until the final rap. That is the point where the worshipful master has officially dismissed the lodge. You can remove your apron and move on with the rest of whatever you're going to do. Can you visit other lodges? Can you visit other lodges? Of course you can. If you are a master mason, bring your dues card. That's usually all they have to see. If you're an entered apprentice or a fellow crab, you can do so if you're traveling with a master mason who can vouch for you since you don't have a dues card. When you arrive, be sure to find the tiler, senior warden, or senior deacon to let them know that you will be there. They will confirm that you're a mason, but they will also take down your information so that you can be properly introduced in the meeting. You won't be required to give a speech, but you will be asked to stand and introduce yourself. They will verify that you're a mason, take down your information, and go from there. Know that ultimately, everyone that is there is willing to help you through this. We've all been there. We all remember the first time we walked into a lodge and were confronted by people that we didn't know, a room full of people that we didn't know. And for brothers out there, reach out. If you see a new candidate come in through the door, or even a new Master Mason, maybe someone who hasn't been there for a while, reach out to them. Strike up a conversation. Find out how they've been. Everyone wants to be there for you. We want to make you feel welcome. Everyone here is your friend and brother. Thank you.
Yeah. Question is, what are the requirements for a brother to receive a Masonic memorial service upon his death?
So the question is, what are the requirements for a Masonic memorial service upon brother's death? And the only requirement is that the brother be in good standing. The brother doesn't even actually have to live in the state. There are occasions where we give funerals for people who live, maybe they went to lodge in California, but they moved to Wisconsin. Everyone makes poor life decisions, given the winters, but it happens all the time. So if you're in good standing, that will be done typically by your home lodge. Someone just needs to reach out to the secretary. It's the sort of thing that you would want to put in a will or make known to your family beforehand. Other questions? All right. Thank you, brethren.